Hey guys, it's a bonus episode of the Second Shot Podcast. Oh, I call it the Second Shot Podcast. I'm very tired. I'm George Dunn, and we're here to talk about the Avengers.
And I am with Groot.
Me. Ooh,
Devin. Hi, Groot.
Devin Newsom.
What up, y'all?
How's it going?
Back.
We back.
Did you miss us? I know you did. Probably. You don't have to say anything.
Yeah. We're joined today by my brother,
hey,
who just went to go see Avengers with us.
Movie review correspondent.
Yes. My brother, Dan Dunn.
It's Daniel now. He's professional.
Daniel. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Danielle Dunn.
I haven't heard that one.
No. So, you know what? My mood right now is a little mixed because, full transparency, we recorded about 40 minutes of an intro for this, talking about our past relationship with the Marvel franchise.
And Thanos destroyed it all.
It was...
Damn you, Titan!
It was real fucked up, and I was a real dumbhead. So, that is probably gonna not exist anywhere.
Oh, we can gloss over it real quick.
Yeah. So
it's been 10 years building up to this movie. And now we have shot our load. Second shot our load.
We have second shot our third Avengers movie load. Basically we just said that we all really like these movies. Except for Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
And Thor.
And
Thor 2.
We didn't talk about how much we hated Age of Ultron, but that's okay.
I think the biggest
problem... Age of Ultron's a weird one.
I just don't remember it. I think that's the worst thing I could say about a movie.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
I think that's his biggest issue.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know. It's a weird one.
From the moment Robert Downey Jr. came out as Iron Man, it's been like, we didn't know we were going to get to this point. Like, it's been movie after movie, year, with increasing frequency. They've just been like rolling, and we finally reached like this peak. And
yeah, I mean, like, especially with phase two, everything kind of just fell into place the way it should. Like, Avengers was like this seemingly like lucky miracle of like none of this should have worked, but it did.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with phase two, with Iron Man 3 and Winter Soldier, and to a lesser extent, the Dark World, like, it really just started to take like really kick in, and not just like the Thanos like Infinity Stone stuff, but like the storytelling was just better. Like, it was less focused on getting the Avengers together and more focusing on the characters themselves and like their interpersonal struggles, like Tony Stark's PTSD and Cap's like struggles with becoming like dealing with the fact that he's lost everything he knows.
Yeah,
he's in an entirely new world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Thor just being like, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna be a king at some point. This is weird. Like, Thor really didn't have a good story until Ragnarok. I don't think like a personal story.
Yeah, he was a comic booky action guy with kind of a hollow personality, or just, I guess, like character development.
Yeah. He's always the funniest one, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just, there was nothing to him really, other than like his relationship with Jane, and even that was like boring.
Was he funnier than Robert Downey Jr.?
I think so.
Really?
Mm. I think he was less try hard. I've always found him funnier than like, I mean, his dynamic with other characters is just so much better than Robert. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is funny, but like, he's very like snarky and condescending, and that's where the comedy comes from. And I like Thor's dumbness.
And then, he's like unintentionally as a character. I mean, intentionally writing wise, but they threw them all together.
Yeah,
and they're like, hey, you guys all have to exist together now as a team, and so we have to balance you in a way that satisfies all of the fans of each of these characters.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, they've done it a couple times already, and this is their biggest undertaking yet. And
easily.
Not even close. And boy, they had a job, and we saw it, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get into spoilers in a second, but the build-up to this was huge. Mm. I mean, other than the fact that it's 18 movies, I mean, that part's obviously huge.
18 movies, like, 10 years.
Just, like, the anticipation, the story, like, this is, like, basically telling one story over 18 movies. If you want to be like fair and cut out phase one, like, because most of that has nothing to do with, you know, first Captain America has a Tesseract, but I mean, that's kind of like retconned
right.
into being an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
You know, it's, what's 10 movies almost, yeah. over yeah. 10 movies. That's fucking nuts.
I liked how you put it. You put it, like Tony Stark, which rhymes with arc. And you put it
with he's got an arc reactor in his chest.
Yeah, how fitting is it that he sets the whole arc off?
Yeah.
And that is the story thread that's been there from the beginning.
Yeah, because Iron Man 3 is really what kicks everything off. I mean, like, you have the Avengers, which is like, oh, Tesseract, oh, blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
The Mind Stone. But, like, Iron Man 3 is really where it's like, it sets the PTSD of Tony Stark, which then creates Ultron, which then, you know, like, it creates this, like, back and forth. Oh, it's so good. It's yeah. so good. Iron Man 3 is wildly underappreciated, I think.
Big time.
But
yeah, it leads into the Sokovia Accords, into Civil War.
Yeah.
And it's all been coming since Avengers 1, 2. We saw a little bit mm-hmm. of what was ahead. But, man, I could not wait to see this movie. I've been stoked all week. Been playing, like, Marvel video games. looking at every YouTube video I could that didn't have spoilers, learning up about the Thanos quest and the Infinity Gauntlet, getting fresh on that again, and I mean, I was ready. I exhausted every possible yeah. thing to keep me entertained without spoiling it for myself. But
yeah, this was one that kind of hit me out of nowhere. Like last week, I was just like, I was at a show and I was just like, oh, right, that's like a week away.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And it, like, it hit me like way more than I got really excited for it.
Mm.
Kind of in the same way, like, actually Age of Ultron did, where I'm like, oh, I'm kind of really excited for this movie. And then I got, you know, right. disappointed. But, like, I mean, Age of Ultron's fine. It's not a bad movie. It's just not good. Yeah. It's not a movie I ever felt like I needed to go back and watch.
Yeah. It's kind of like, hey, we need to do this to kind of set things forward.
Yeah. It felt like it was very Iron Man 2-y.
Yeah.
I saw it in theaters, and then the only other time I watched it is on a plane to Ireland because I had nothing better to watch.
Yeah.
Like, that was all that was available.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some spoilers. Well, let's, I guess, for we'll do our non-spoiler part yeah. just real quick.
Mm.
What did we think?
Just
as an overarching, because I don't want to tell anything about the story. I'm just going to say yes or no on this thing.
It like I said, they had a big job to undertake, and they did it. And if you were worried about this movie at all, your worries were not realized. In my opinion, mine weren't realized. They did mostly everything I wanted them to do. There's some things from the comics that for a while it felt like they weren't going to do. And some of those things they didn't. Some of those things they kind of reimagined. And there were some payoffs for comic fans in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Dan?
Obviously.
There's some comic book characters in this movie. I think it's pretty good.
It was really good. The only thing that I really have to say is go see it and don't say a word about it.
Yeah please
don't be
don't.
That guy.
Don't do that.
I've already blocked 4 people today on Facebook because they were either one of them was a joke spoiler. I saw 4 others that were like legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be that guy. No one likes that guy. It's not funny.
I have a guy at work who's going to ask me tomorrow. He's going to ask me to tell him all the spoilers because he's like, I'm not going to see it. I'm like, I'm not fucking doing that.
Yeah. My friend got spoiled. He's really pissed. Don't spoil it. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Go see it. It's really good.
Thanos demands silence.
Yes.
I can't believe that it turned out that Thanos was Iron Man, though. That was weird.
That was really crazy. Then Batman showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah. I really like this movie. I think this is going to be one of those movies, like the first Avengers, where I felt underwhelmed, even though I wasn't, you know? It still hasn't hit me fully yet. I think it has to sit with me for a little bit.
There was a lot.
Because so much happens.
It was a long movie.
It's not. It's 3 hours long, and there's basically no stopping. It just goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really, really liked it. I liked Josh Brolin a lot. So, yeah, let's get into spoilers real quick. I don't know, just spoiler section. I'll give it a few seconds. Don't listen to this part if you don't want to listen to the spoilers. Spoilers. Do not turn it off. Or do turn it off if you don't want to hear. I'm singing my dad's song.
That's enough. If you're still listening, you are an idiot, and yeah, you weren't really listening.
Nope.
But hopefully you don't listen to this until you see the movie.
Okay. Spoilers as of now.
Okay.
So, okay. I'm an idiot. I can't believe I didn't see, like, what was I expecting? Of course he was going to do that.
Yeah.
You, like, were expecting them to play to the money.
You're expecting maybe the Easter Bunny?
I was expecting them to have a little bit more, well, not fun with it, but I was expecting them to, like, play with the audience a bit, especially expectations of comic book fans.
Yeah.
So full disclosure, I have never read this book.
One of the best.
Really?
It's really good.
Easily.
I've made my opinions clear about 90s comics. I don't like them more often than not.
This one is.
So, I mean, this is like kind of.
This is the not in that equation.
Yeah.
You would love it. Especially the Thanos quest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's like kind of start from the beginning. This movie literally opens the second Ragnarok ends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With that ship showing up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they just snap Loki's neck right away. They're like setting up the stakes right there.
Right away. Stab Heimdall in the heart.
Yeah.
Yep. Heimdall's done.
Black Heimdall was
more heartbreaking than Loki to me.
Well, okay, because we've seen Loki die before, though. So, I mean.
Right, but I mean, part of me was like, oh, I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't believe it's real or whatever. But then, like, even when I knew it was like, okay, so this is real, I was just like.
I still really don't believe it, honestly. I feel like there's still going to be something stupid.
Well, the whole second movie is going to set up, like, literally everybody.
They have these magical gems that they can play with reality and souls and time.
Literally anything in the
movie. But, yeah, they hop right into it. It's instant terror. Yep. And you see Thanos blurry in the background, and you see him tormenting the Asgardians, and all of a sudden Hulk comes in.
Yeah.
Smashing him up.
Loki saying we have a Hulk.
Yeah.
Getting his ass and then gets his ass whooped.
Yeah. You have, like, never seen to this point. I mean, maybe I guess Abomination, but that movie doesn't really count all the way.
Well, Iron Man kind of kicks his ass in.
Yeah, with the Hulkbuster. Yeah. But, like, to this level, like, Thanos,
like,
doesn't even have a problem.
It's like a one punch, like, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it's a knee. Well, even to the point where Hulk is afraid.
Yeah.
That's why he won't come out. Like, it's a brave move in that sense, just not having the Hulk in the entire movie.
That was
really
very surprising.
Like, yeah, I didn't expect that at all. I guess, he's not in any of the trailers, so, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's this movie is, like, chock full of stuff where it's like, okay, I didn't expect that part. I didn't expect to go to this place, and I respected the fuck out of it.
Mm.
But, like, it's also one of those things where, like, just since I don't expect it and it keeps pulling the rug out from under me,
yeah,
I keep feeling like I need to catch up a little bit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, oh, I'm here. I'm totally in with this. But I'm also like, give me some time to breathe, guys. Like,
And I'm a person who watched all the trailers. If you're still listening and you haven't seen the movie yet, you're dumb. But if you have seen the trailers and you're worried it gives away too much, trust me, you've seen like maybe 5 minutes of footage. This movie's
It does cover basically the whole movie. Everything I've seen trailer-wise.
It covers a lot of the scenes, but it doesn't really give you all the context, obviously. But it plays with you, and it puts you on this roller coaster from the beginning, because part of the way you, like, Loki had his redemption at the end of Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
And
sort of.
But he still steals the Tesseract.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, okay, he has there's some bad in him still, obviously. And you think for a split second he is going to join Thanos and help him get to Earth and find the other stones.
I kind of never fell for that. I thought that maybe if anything else, he would join and then, like...
I've read the comics. I had a slight suspicion that Loki would take over the storyline of Mephisto in the comics. He's like, was this little right-hand advisor to Thanos throughout the whole story. And also kind of a trickster type dude. I was like, okay, maybe Loki's going to take on that role.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
He valiantly tries to take down Thanos, but he's no match. And
he gets close.
It's brutal. I would say that was a pretty brutal first, other than Heimdall, like a pretty brutal kill.
Yeah.
That was pretty rough.
Snapping his neck and seeing him go all pale and bloodshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, it really sets the tone for the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't know what the fuck's going to happen. And literally anyone's up for grabs.
Yeah. Luckily, Heimdall has a valiant move at the end.
Yeah.
At his end, sends the Bifrost to take the Hulk to Earth to warn.
An inciting incident, if you will.
Yes. that's also supposed to be Silver Surfer in the comics.
Oh, really?
It's the one who warns everybody, crashes into Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum. It's going from the get-go. Every single scene, every single introduction is amazing.
Yeah, it never stops. And, even Cap's introduction is so like, okay, here's Cap.
Yeah, this
and now
is
let's
happening.
Go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And I mean, like, it was great. Like I said, I really enjoyed that it like kept me on my feet. But at the same point, there was a little bit of like, I want that scene where they're all working together in the Avengers.
Yeah.
You know, it's that one shot that just pans Hulk slams that metal into the Leviathan, and then Thor hammers it into his neck and stuff. Which I know that's not this kind of movie. Like, this movie's really dour.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, this like people, complain about DC being dour, and I mean, like, this is pretty on that level. It just has a different. It's not nihilistic.
And care about the characters.
Well, yeah, it helps. That helps. Yeah.
It does the Marvel thing where like you'll have a serious moment, then a joke in a second to kind of laugh. And,
yeah, the jokes are very out of the blue for the most part. But they're funny as shit. Like, yeah. I love them. But they're very. I don't want to say shoehorned in because they do fit and they work fine, but they're not. If you took them out, you wouldn't really lose anything from the story or anything like that.
Yeah,
like,
I like it, but at the same time, it is a little. I don't know. I don't want to say discouraging or anything, but it's just like every time I see something emotional happen, something funny is coming up, and I kind of like to sit on that a bit.
Until the end, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's
we'll get to that. Well, there's a very specific moment. That
it gets heavy.
But so what happens after that? So basically, right after that, Hulk crashes into the Sanctum Sanctorum, and then a spaceship arrives just like right off the bat.
Yeah,
he's kept, and just in, like keeps the story going, like they just keep going.
You get that intertwine of the characters immediately, where you're like, they're gonna have no problem balancing these personalities.
Yeah.
When
it was so great
Benedict,
seeing Stark and Doctor Strange bounce off two egomaniacs just fighting for each. Oh, so great!
And that's then great. Banner, who's just terrified, but also thrown in some of his Bannerness.
Mm-hmm.
Then the spaceship comes, and here comes
the donut.
Spider-Man.
Here comes the Black Order. Yeah, Spider-Man sees the
Spider-Man
ship.
Comes in.
I need a distraction.
Ah, dude, we're Ned stealing the show again. Ned, unsung hero.
God, he's so good.
That's still.
I'd watch a whole movie of him.
That's the hardest I laughed the whole movie. There were so many
really
funny
good.
Moments. Ned made me laugh the hardest.
Yeah, that was a great one.
The Black Order. So, like, I feel like they're pretty underused. I think they're effective when they're used, but I feel like they're just kind of there, and then they just kind of disappear.
They were.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, you.
I honestly got really sick of them, because the guy with the spear just kept. He did the same thing four times.
Corvus Glaive.
I'm not gonna remember the name.
Fucking nerd.
Yeah. So, but like, he did the same thing four times, and I get it. Like, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But four times to just stab Vision. And go after the stone.
I mean, what else do you want him to do with a spear?
Well, I mean, yeah, but
you have a spear that can break an infinity stone.
Four times, though?
Yeah, once
or twice. My thing
with the Black Order is like they downplayed their powers in this. They're a lot more powerful and scary in the comics, which they were scary in this, like because they showed up in a surprising manner mostly every time.
Yeah,
outside of their first appearance, I think it was Proxima Midnight and Corvus Glaive, or no, Proxima Midnight and I think his name in this was. I think he's originally the Black Ape,
Farts
but they
McGee.
Changed that.
Farts McGee. That's what he's in the credits,
I think it's
at least.
Black Obsidian.
Yeah, that's what I said. Farts McGee.
Yeah, different language. But
it's Groot.
They down, like, Proxima Midnight, who was voiced by Carrie Coons from Leftovers. She's great. But her scythe or her staff, whatever it was, in the comics, she can, like, manipulate that thing's density. And make it pretty much weigh as much as like a star, and like they downplayed how strong.
So kind of in the same sense of Thor's hammer.
Yeah. And Ebony Maw. I mean, he was probably the most threatening, and he got tricked by some practicality.
Yeah, dude.
You ever see that really old movie?
Okay. So let's. So, Spidey and Iron Man are on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
With Doctor Strange to save Doctor Strange, which shoots them into space. You know, there's that whole thing. They have the whole, the really old movie Aliens, the callback to Civil War.
I actually kind of like that.
It's funny. It's very funny. Like, I like that he's very clearly 15 years old.
Yeah.
but, you know, with the Iron Spider suit, which I was like half dreading because it's awful in the books.
Yeah,
it's necessary to have Peter have that in this movie.
But it also works in this movie. I think it looks a lot better than the Iron Spider scene.
I embarrassingly geeked out at the theater. I did like the whole, clenching my fist and shaking. I'm like,
I don't know. I mean, like I don't want, I guess we shouldn't just go through the entire story, but like, but so the highlight for me in this movie for sure was Thanos. Which I did not expect walking into this movie. Because this is literally Thanos' movie. This is his story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if perspectives were changed a little bit and we hadn't followed these guys for the last 19 movies, I kind of would have seen Thanos as a hero in some sort of aspect. That's, at least from the way the story's being told.
That's how he sees himself.
Yeah.
He believes himself. He believes what he's doing is absolutely right. And when you're looking at the grand scheme of the universe, he's kind of right.
There's like he's wrong. Objectively wrong.
You want to
He's playing God. He's playing nature.
Exactly.
You want to you don't want to be overpopulated. Absolutely. I think we kind of know that on this world right now. But,
like literally anyone who's ever committed a genocide has said the same thing that he says.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you have to do it by like letting people have abortions and like be gay.
This is also the Illuminati podcast. We are part of the Illuminati. Please sign up.
And that's where the real world, they set the real world, the real world underlying message in it again is like, that is a real idea out there. There are people who believe that you should kill people to save a society and save a world.
Yeah. And then you have Cap's idea of we don't trade lives. And there is so little of people talking in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is weird because like when you look back at the Avengers, 80% of that movie is people sitting down and talking because it's Joss Whedon.
Mm.
That's his strong suit. And then you just have a big action scene at the end, you know, in the helicarrier scene in the middle. But I mean, like, it's mostly just people talking and arguing. It's like, I disagree with you. All these guys are like, they already disagree with each other. They all mostly love and hate each other.
Hmm.
It's mostly just Tony really having his own hangups.
Yeah.
But, it's fascinating how they just tell the story mostly through action. Like, we get what's going on. We get the objective here.
Yeah.
So they're just like, all right, well, here it is. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's run with it.
Yeah.
And Josh Brolin is the newcomer of this whole thing. Like, he's been in glimpses of things before. But, like, he fits in so well And I mean, it helps that the CGI on him is insanely good.
Oh yeah, every.
I think it's the best like motion capture I've ever seen.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, it looks very real. Especially that first fight with the Hulk was just like, damn.
Yeah.
He is moving and it looks realistic, and he's using complicated fighting techniques, and it's.
But I mean, his face, just the expressions, like especially the, you know, the Gamora scene.
Yeah.
Like. You see the pain in his eyes, in his face. It's just the way his mouth moves and his nose and stuff. Like, it's great. He's so good in this movie. I don't want him to die in the next one because I want more of him.
I don't know. I kind of want to talk more about the comics and his ultimate arc, but I don't want to give anything away for you.
I know, like, in comic book form, like, he dies, but he doesn't, you know, whatever. Like, I'm not worried about spoiling the comic book, but like I kind of just want to talk about the movie we saw, and if you know, like because there is something like Tom Holland's incredible again, like everybody's like everyone's great,
and it's like, they did a great job, like I said, of balancing everybody. Balance, it is everything must stay in balance, like Thanos said, and that's what the movie was about, that's what the making the movie was about, and they did it so well. Like, if you were a fan of any character, you're gonna get rewarded. Like, everybody gets a shine.
I was like, is there a single character in this movie that's on screen that doesn't get their moment?
No,
there's not.
They're not all together at the same time.
All the way down to Pepper Potts.
Yeah, I mean, she has like a scene, but she doesn't really have a moment.
It's a good scene though. They're talking about we get married and might even have kids. Yeah, having kids. Begging Tony to stay, and then just nothing, and that's exactly what she's been. Yeah,
got a line.
It's. I mean, I. It's one of those movies where like you watch the Avengers, waiting for them all to get together. Then they were together. Now they're spread apart. And like I said, like the whole group is not together ever. It's a bunch of team ups.
You've got like six different teams.
Yeah. And I mean, like the Guardians and Thor was probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Because I could watch the Guardians literally all day.
Oh man.
Like
they were perfect.
And I said it walking out of the theater, I think Thor should never have his own solo movie again. He should always have a team up movie.
Yeah. And I think that's the way it's going, because that's how it's been with Iron Man. For a number of years now, I think that's the way Cap is moving.
Yeah.
If any of these guys stay down the line, I think it's going to be in that capacity. Any of these first gen guys and gals.
Speaking of first gen, they're the only ones to survive. It's just the starter ones and Rocket, I think, right? It's just the starter Avengers and then Rocket.
No, Danai Gurira survives. I mean, if you're talking...
Well, original Avengers and then...
He's saying just of the Avengers.
Yeah.
Because,
Black Panther dies.
I mean, it's Rocket.
All of the Guardians except for Rocket.
Yeah.
I think Spider-Man, that one was rough.
Okay, that's what I was... Ahead. Yeah, I mean, we can jump ahead. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
Snap of the fingers.
Well, let's go through all the deaths first. We have more deaths cover before we even get to that moment.
The Gamora death was rough.
That was very rough. I mean, they played on that storyline so well. Mm-hmm.
It's probably my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, like they get to you find out that she's known where the Soul Stone is at all along, and he's torturing Nebula in a fucked up.
I love that it wasn't a person. I was really worried, the internet rumors of it being, you know, Black Panther or whatever.
Mm.
I love that it was just like this. That's the one. That's the hardest to get. You know, like. And it's being guarded by Red Skull.
They totally. I think that's. Because, I was waiting, I was wishing and hoping that Mistress Death would actually be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I mean, he wasn't in love with Red Skull, but fuck, Red Skull was in it. You see a cloaked, deathly-looking, Grim Reaper-looking character on this planet when they go to get the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
And
I think it's more fitting in this universe that the one he kills is, the one he loves is Gamora and not Death.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. it feels so much more natural mm-hmm. and honest
yeah.
And way more heartbreaking oh, yeah. than some, you know, crush he has.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's
because
it's...
you feel for him weirdly for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you shouldn't, but well, I did at least.
Yeah.
Like, I was empathetic towards it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a rough scene.
And you can tell, like, Gamora's gone through such a life where her whole family's been killed. She's been raised by this man and forced to fight her sibling and see her sibling get tortured, Nebula. And, like, at the end, or at the end of this journey to find the Soul Stone, Red Skull tells them that he needs to give up the only thing he loves. And she smiles at first.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't quite understand the gravity of the situation.
She thinks he doesn't love anybody.
Yeah, she knows him as a man. He doesn't love anybody. So there's nothing he can give up to get the Soul Stone. And he turns around and he's crying real tears and chucks her off that cliff.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Gamora.
That was a rough one.
Yeah.
I love Gamora. I love Zoe Saldana.
That was like the first time I actually felt my heart like actually race. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit, this is happening.
Yeah.
Like, you see Loki die, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. They will never kill the Guardians. They can't kill the Guardians. And then you're looking at it like, holy shit, they're actually going to kill the Guardians. They're going to kill actual characters off.
And, I mean, yeah, he's at that point, that's the second to last stone he needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last one's a Mind Stone.
It's third. The third to last then, because he also, that's...
Oh, right, because he got the time
right after that. And, man, he starts increasingly fucking shit up more and more.
Yeah.
And
until he gets to that last, when he gets to that Mind Stone, he's just like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
He's just a brisk walk in the park to him, like...
I have exactly what I need to get through any situation, and that is the Time Stone.
Yeah.
So do what you will. I'm going to get my stone.
And you think Tony is dead.
Yeah.
He stabs Tony. That's the one prediction that almost everybody picked, is either Tony or Cap is going to die.
Yeah.
And
literally everybody else did.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
yeah, and Strange gives it up, and then they go to Wakanda. This fucking army of dog aliens, and you've seen the scene.
That was a fun fight.
That was really good. Yeah.
Watching so you know it's the whole, you know, underdogs, you know, like all the non-superhero or non-superpowered guys against a bunch of giant alien dog things, except, well, I guess Cap and whatever, but
Black Panther,
yeah, they sort of have superpowers.
Watching those two run first next to each other, that was so cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was so cool.
But like that fight, and then the tides turn with Thor coming in, and it's like that real fist pumping fuck yeah moment. Mm-hmm. So my favorite part of that though was like when Rocket and Winter Soldier are back to back, and then Winter Soldier just holds him up and just like spins around, and he's like, "How much for the gun?" He's like, "It's not for sale." He's like, "How much for the arm?" He's like, he walks away. He's like, "I'm gonna get that arm."
Like, yeah. Rocket and his obsession
speaking
with body parts.
That was a really, really strong callback.
It seemed
callback.
Like a weirdly unnecessary thing.
It was a great callback, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's necessary, I guess, for the joke and the callback and the getting that feel of the Guardians. Because, they called back to almost everything from every franchise. Like,
I just feel like it was like, I like the look of Thor with the eye patch.
Yeah.
Speaking
of the look of Thor, the fact that he had a wooden-handled hammer.
Yes.
That was fucking
made
dumb.
By Groot.
Made by Groot. Groot, who didn't give a shit the entire movie.
Made by Groot and Peter Dinklage.
Giant Peter Dinklage. Yeah. Yeah. I did want to go the Drax calling him. He looks like a pirate. Had a baby with an angel.
And then Star Lord being super like just defensive and jealous around him.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Drax is fucking the best. I love him so much.
I am invisible.
His lines hit more in this than they did in Guardians 2, in my opinion.
Oh yeah. What was it? It's like you're a guy. This is a man.
And when he was watching Gamora and Quill's sensitive scene. How long have you been there, Drax?
An hour.
Just standing still.
I'm moving so slow you can't even tell.
I'm 100% sure I'm invisible. Oh, he's the best.
And then Mantis. Oh, God.
Mantis is great, too. I think she's a very unsung hero.
Yeah.
Like, I love her.
She's the only person that was able to bring Thanos to his knees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except...
When they were on the planet devising their plan, she's just in the background jumping, loving the light gravity.
Yeah.
It's just the most out of focus in the background while important things are happening in the corner. Yeah, you just see her having a great time. She's just jumping.
I love that Groot's just like playing video games the whole time.
He's playing Arcade Invader.
He does get scared at first, like on Wakanda finally, and he snaps out of it.
But, mm.
Yeah. All too soon because Groot dies again.
That was the scene.
Yeah,
I saw you out of the corner of my eye. I saw you just shake your head.
We keep mentioning it. We keep alluding to everybody dying, and we can't stop talking about it because holy fuck,
that ending is so bold and so great.
Mm.
Like it's like because like I mean it adds that like this being Thanos' story and him almost being a hero because he gets that peaceful ending.
Yeah,
because he did it all just to like. Have a cup of coffee in silence.
Yeah.
And it's just like, God damn, dude. Like, I didn't expect it to end like that. Like, I knew the snapping and, you know, I was like, okay, once that happened, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But I was expecting, like, you know, I don't know, fucking Captain Marvel to come in and be like, hey, I got some news, you know, or some sort of glimmer of hope, but there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's Cap saying, oh my God,
we
lost.
Oh,
and then
man.
It just ends.
He takes a right hook right to the fucking skull from Thanos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And damn.
It's I love how unceremonious it is, too. People just fade away. The only one who got a real send-off was Spider-Man.
Yeah, he pulled a Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I don't want to go.
That's
devastating.
That was the most heartbreaking to me. That was like Spidey, if you know me, if you've listened to this, listen to our review episodes, I'm Groot. And
I'm Steve Rogers.
I'm Steve Rod. That was great. no, but like if you know me, Spidey is my dude. Petey Parker's been my guy since I was a little. And to see him all of a sudden, I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark. He panics and he's crying and he's, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Oh my God.
So that was like,
it's heartbreaking.
I choked up. I was so close to crying.
He's just a kid, man.
And then Doctor Strange, the strongest line in the movie, there was no other way.
Yeah.
Like,
he saw the winning, the way we win.
I think he has a plan. So he kind of knows what's going on. He can't mess with it too much and he's just got to let it happen.
Star-Lord fucked it up.
Yeah.
Star-Lord fucked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean...
Well, he's dead now, so who cares?
It's one of those things. So, like, what did you guys think of the Vision stuff? Like, what did you think of fleshy Vision? That was, like, weird. Because, like, seeing Paul Bettany act as Paul Bettany, it was like...
I mean,
like you're not good unless you're under that makeup. Apparently,
it's part of Vision's character. They definitely streamline their romance. You don't want to get into it too much.
I mean, that part works for me. I just feel like Paul Bettany acting is fleshy. Paul Bettany was weird.
I don't mind it.
I'm so used to seeing him behind that makeup.
Right. And when Thanos arrives on Wakanda. It's almost like that. It's almost like you talked about Darth Vader coming through the portal. And, it kind of is like that scene from Rogue One when Darth Vader.
Yeah. No one stands a chance.
Commandeers the ship. Yeah, the hallway scene. And because, everybody's given their shot and he's just swatting them away like flies, floating them away. And that's comic book fucking boner right there for me because he throws Banner in the Hulkbuster suit into a mountain and sets him into the stone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he does that. And he sets him in a big giant stone block in the comics.
Something like
I think it's the Hulk in the comics.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, everybody is just like completely, utterly defeated, given their all. And,
Cap does his best.
Yeah. And Scarlet Witch, you don't know if she's going to be able to destroy the stone. She does. And it's all for nothing because Thanos just reverses time and
and he knew that he wasn't worried about
but you saw when he ripped it out of Vision's forehead Vision lost all his color and he's coming back to life guys
for sure
he's coming back to well
did they I don't know I may have missed it I was too focused obviously on everything else Shuri What happened with her? She just got backhanded, and that was kind of it.
That was it.
They don't. They, yeah, they don't show what
and
happened.
Vision tackled Corvus Glaive out the window, yes, okay, and so she's just up there.
Maybe.
Fine.
Yeah.
I am gonna be so. No Hawkeye, no Ant-Man. They just say, oh, they're both under house arrest.
Yeah, not at all.
It's a weird reason for them not to be in this movie.
Well, they did mention them, didn't they?
Yeah, they said they're under house arrest.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. And they said they said Hawkeye, there was too much drain on his family.
Yeah.
So basically, he's just dealing with his family. And so it's like, oh, we couldn't get him for this movie. Yeah. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens in July with Ant-Man.
How are they going to handle it? It has to take place before. It has to.
No, it'll take place after. Why doesn't it have to? It's going to be a weird world, but I mean, it's not like people don't, they have to move on with your life.
I feel like you can't explain why he didn't try to help.
I'm sure they will. I'm just going to be interested to see how they do
it. I don't know. Because that's going to be a rough thing to explain.
I mean, well, it seemed like the news traveling of everything happening, like it seemed like it all on Earth happened pretty quickly. And
it was in a few days, if even that.
If that even, because, I mean, we get to the end credit scene, spoiler alert.
spoiler alert.
The end credit scene, you got Nick Fury and Maria Hill finally.
Yeah, back together.
And they're even just finding out as people are disappearing and as Thanos has snapped his fingers and destroyed half the life in the universe. And, cars are crashing. So he honestly killed more than half the universe with all that collateral. But they're like just finding out. Like you would think these top SHIELD operatives would.
SHIELD's not a thing anymore. They're not top. They're both on the run.
SHIELD is a thing. If you watch Agents of SHIELD,
Devin.
Yeah.
Okay.
ABC.
Well,
every Friday.
They're not. They're on the
There's
run.
There's a
still.
Reason it's on Fridays.
It's
Fury's
a good.
Been on the
it is good.
Dude.
He's been on the road, and he's been dealing with some cosmic stuff, because he gives Captain Marvel a page.
Gives Jude Law a page.
There was great cinematography going on in this movie. Like, when the first ship arrives in New York, and they're shooting it from, like, when they start in the Sanctum Sanctorum and
pretty
go
visceral.
Out.
Yeah,
that was
one...
amazing.
Yeah.
That there's is... some real, like, they don't fuck around with some of the stuff in terms of, like, the disaster and violence of this movie.
When, like, the end credit scene, I wasn't very on it, but everything that was shot, like, that, the car crash was really good, and then the helicopter just sold it. That was so good. The helicopter crashing out of nowhere, no one has any idea what's going on, and then they start disappearing.
Yeah.
I think, again, my whole thing with the comedy, I didn't like the Sam Jackson, like, oh, mother.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
Exactly. That's
it's just like, hey, remember, he's Samuel L. Jackson. He swears.
Uh-huh.
He says
get
the
it?
F-word.
Get it?
Never heard of him.
Do you get it?
They disappear too, and like nobody's safe. Like, man, like, he snaps his fingers, and like he said, it's random, rich, poor, whoever the fuck, good, bad.
I like when they showed Gamora's home planet. Well, it's in the background. The guy, it's really kind of just phased out. The guy literally says, "Pick a side, left, right."
Oh yeah,
whichever way you go, he's like, "Well, left's dead."
Hmm. Yeah, that's his thing. And now all he has to do is snap his fingers, and it happens. And if we could go through real quick, try to remember everybody who disintegrated.
Black Panther.
That was rough.
Falcon.
Yeah, Black Panther, man. Like, Falcon.
All the Guardians except for Rocket.
All the Guardians except for Rocket. Yep. Yeah. And
Spider-Man. Mantis is a Guardian.
There was other ones. I just
Maria cleaned. Hill, Nick Fury. Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
The only one that's left on that planet is Tony.
And Nebula.
Tony.
Oh yeah, Nebula is on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Did she? She didn't end up disintegrating too.
Nope.
Everybody, man.
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch is gone. Vision's not living, so he's still there.
Yeah.
Dude.
There's got to be other. There was so much happening.
There was a lot. Like, yeah. Was Banner, I think
is Banner still
Banner's yeah. still there? Thor's still there.
Oh yeah.
As a joke, I mean, it's like it's better. It's easier to name who's alive still.
I mean, of the ones living, the guy got lucky that there was the good ones.
Yeah.
You know, like, but
I do think the Tony stab is just maybe a teaser for him dying in the next one.
Entirely possible. But he's got those nano.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the new costume? I don't like that new suit.
It's a little too streamlined. I like bit more bulkiness.
Yeah.
But
it makes sense for what it is, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because, I mean, it's all in his chest.
I know, like, it makes sense. I'm just saying I just don't like the look of it.
Yeah.
I like that there's, like, a shield and, like, I like that he's got weapons now. Mm. That's fun.
He's
I mean,
got
I know it's just sell toys.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Is there anything we didn't like about this before we kind of wrap it up?
I mean, a couple things I glossed over that I was left wondering. How did Thor get away at the beginning?
Yeah, he was. Oh, he pulled a Leia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a time thing. I feel like that scene with the Guardians happens right after their ship blows up.
Because they were talking about the distress.
In the terms of the movie,
yeah.
It's just, you know, like, those things happen right after each other, yeah. But, like, we're just like, okay, well, we can't, like, keep hinging on Thor's whole story.
Yeah, the time thing's fine. I'm just more or less, why did Thanos let Thor go? How did Thor get away from Thanos?
I think
Thanos
he was just assuming, he was arrogant and he just assumed that the ship would blow up and he would just die in space. Yeah.
Which is a fair assumption.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was quick to leave without killing people sometimes, like.
Yeah.
When he was.
It seems like Thanos, from what I can tell, doesn't take delight in killing people. You know, like, he feels like it's a necessity that he does, like it's a service he does, but he doesn't have fun with it. So if he doesn't have to, he'll walk away from it.
Yeah, a little bit, which, like, that's a little disappointing for me from a character standpoint, because you didn't get as much demented Thanos. I mean, you did. You got some demented Thanos, but I think he does take a little joy in it, but, like, in the comics, he's just, like, a cold blood. He loves killing, and he would stand there heroically like a superhero all the time with his grin on his face, and he enjoyed it. He was having fun with it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with Thanos is he can literally take his time. I mean, he's got two stones already, so it's like, I don't really need to worry about these guys.
He had his end goal in mind, and he was after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my biggest issue is I kind of wish it were longer, just so give the movie room to breathe a little bit storytelling wise. But we got a second movie.
Yeah, we got part two
next year, so at least we don't have to wait too long.
Yeah.
That's nice.
What movies are between this other than Ant-Man and
Wasp?
Are we getting just two movies? Captain Marvel.
Yeah, solo Captain Marvel. I think comes out after.
Part I think,
two? Or maybe before.
I think it might be just Ant-Man and the Wasp and Captain Marvel.
That's.
Let me take a look. Because
that's
there's
got to
be something in November. There are usually three now.
Which
I'm gonna look this up real quick.
I think that's starting next year.
They did last year with Spider-Man.
It's gonna be weird not having all these superhero movies that we're kind of used to getting at this point.
We're gonna still get them. They're just gonna be different ones.
Yeah, it is. It's May. Infinity War Part 2 is May 3rd, 2019. So Captain Marvel, I don't see a date on it. That's weird.
Yeah.
Bold. I mean, I guess if you're making two $500 million movies, you've got to put your money where your mouth is on that one.
And that's
actually Captain Marvel comes out in March.
Of
next year?
Of 2019.
Okay.
So,
wow, okay.
It's just those two, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then
as of right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like.
Oh, no. I think Homecoming. I think Spider-Man Homecoming.
I mean,
according to Marvel's website, it just says Captain Marvel's March 8th and then Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
How are you going to do Homecoming 2 right now? I mean,
you'll conclude the story in May, so.
Oh, I thought you meant before in the. Okay, never mind. Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, that was my biggest gripe, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's not even really a gripe so much as it is just like, I just wanted more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what a cliffhanger.
What happened?
So,
This
is pretty much a hit for all of us,
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, big time.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go again.
Yeah, I'm going to try and see it in IMAX.
I'm going to say I'm literally making plans with friends.
So. Yeah. Do we have a final statement, Dan?
Go see it. Don't spoil it. Don't be an asshole. I mean, it's just don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be a dick. Don't be Thanos.
Thanos demands your silence.
Any wrap up for you, George?
No, it's really good. I think I need to see it again to like and let it sit for me. Yeah. And also, it probably doesn't help that it's 3 a.m.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, 3.
But you know, it's good. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I recommend it. Like, if you're listening this far, you've probably already seen it.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be the biggest movie of all time. So it's not like, you know, people's opinion is gonna hinge on me.
Right.
But it was far more interesting than I thought it was gonna be in different ways.
Yeah.
Mm.
But what about you, Div?
For me, as part of the Black delegation, I would like to say, I thought it was really. I mean, right after Black Panther's success, really, you got to kill the black guy first.
Yeah, not a lot of Black Panthers.
Also, when they go to Wakanda, they were like, hey, we brought our two black friends with us. Falcon and War Machine. And then you got to kill Black Panther at the end. Just let him live, man. Kill Black Panther and Falcon and Heimdall and War Machine. Well,
War Machine's dead. Yeah. Or War Machine's
looked
alive.
He looks like his body got crushed inside that suit.
His suit got crushed, but he didn't.
Like, we were talking about this before we started recording. It's like, man, you kill all the black characters except for the one that replaced the guy who you fired because you wanted more money. Like,
got the cheap help.
Like,
besides that, and Black Panther didn't really get much shine. Like, T'Challa really had a small...
He got his ass whooped. Yeah.
But, I mean, we just got a lot of him recently, so that's all right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, overall, I loved it. I cannot wait for the next part. I think the next part, we're going to see a lot of crazy cosmic shit. Captain Marvel's coming. I think we're going to see Eternity. I think we're going
to see
order and chaos.
We have
to see Nova. I think we'll see In-Betweener. I think we'll see the Watchers. I think hopefully...
We did see the Watchers.
Yeah, and we saw Guardians 2. Yeah, we're going to see all that. We saw Eternity, I think, in Guardians 2 for a second, too.
Maybe. It was during while they're jumping.
Yeah.
Probably.
And then... we're going to see all that shit, and it's going to be really cool. It's going to be really weird. Hopefully, yeah, I really want to see Adam Warlock. I think maybe that'll be a part of getting Gamora back, or maybe they were telling the truth that he's not going to be in any movie until Guardians 3, but...
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think that's kind of our... And that's the news.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 3 a.m. I'm tired. Let's go to bed.
Yeah, I'm sad. I need to cry myself to sleep.
Yeah, I need to think about Spider-Man.
I don't want to think about Spider-Man.
I don't want to go.
I don't want to go.
Mr. Newsom, I don't feel good.